non-creds.
Yes. Yeah, I can share that. It's Hyperledger and non-creds is now a project, and so it's on the Hyperledger wiki, and I'll shoot it over to you, Shar.
Great, thank you.
Awesome. Well, I think, yeah, with that, we'll pass it over to you, Kyle, if you want to start sharing.
Great, thanks. Let me just get organized here. All right, you can see my screen?
Yep, we can see it.
Okay. So I'm going to go through this presentation. Feel free to ask questions as we go. Maybe if Tim, you can keep an eye on the chat for questions that might come in the chat, just let me know. So I'm Kyle Robinson. I'm the Senior Strategic Advisor for the Energy and Mines Digital Trust Project. It's being run with the Government of British Columbia. In this presentation, we're going to talk about digital credentials for organizational identities in the natural resource sector. So Energy and Mines Digital Trust is really working on the BC government digital trust ecosystems. There's also work going on with the Ministry of Citizen Services with a different project, but we are working very closely together on an overall BC government digital trust ecosystem. There's a number of different use cases involved. The use cases that the energy and mines space is looking at is around sharing sustainability data, certifications, and credentials, particularly between businesses and government entities, not so much in the personal identity space. So one of the, there's three sort of opportunities that we're looking at for using this type of technology: self-sovereign identity, verifiable credentials, in the context of sustainability reporting. One of them is more efficient processes for reporting. And so the technology stack actually allows for better efficiency and for sending data around. Because at the end of the day, really the SSI or verifiable credential technology stack allows for data transport between different parties in a structured manner. Current processes are often unstructured. So they're emails or PDF reports or things like that that are just emailed around. But this allows us to have more structured processes and data standardization. The next piece for that is increased trust and security. So there's a lot of third-party verification that's often done in this space of sustainability reporting. And so an end receiving party for information really wants to know that they trust the data they're receiving, which has been audited by a third party. That, again, this technology allows for that digital signature to be baked into the credential itself, which that end party can examine and understand where it comes from to see the trust. The other important thing is actually selective disclosure. So we're reusing Hyperledger non-creds to enable selective disclosure. And one of the primary reasons there is there's a lot of data that is handled between businesses that's reviewed and audited, but not all of it is shareable to all different parties. But what we want is, back to the efficient processes, is we want to reuse data sets that have been trusted rather than recreating multiple data sets with different subsets for different parties. So using selective disclosure, you can have one credential, let's say, with like 100 attributes of information, which covers many, many use cases for who all the different parties are that you want to share with. For regulatory reporting, voluntary reporting, adding to an ESG report, sending to investors, sending to a bank, all these different things. You want to use the same set of data. So you don't have to constantly get it new credentials in different formats with different subsets of data, which is, again, what's happening today. in the form of PDFs and that kind of thing, or recrafting data sets. So selective disclosure, for those not familiar, is a mechanism where you can have 100 attributes of information, and then you can pick only the subset of information that that receiving party needs. So the receiving party might want 10 different attributes of that information. Well, they can specifically ask for those 10, and you can use the 10 values from that specific credential to fulfill that request. And it has the same digital signature as if you were to share 15 different attributes of information. So a little bit more on the credentials. We talked about efficiency of reporting. There's increased accuracy. So right now there's often a lot of data manipulation that's done in Excel. Somebody will, you know, copy and paste data from this source to that source, reframe it, and then copy it somewhere else. Again, this is all this reformatting and subsets of data. So increased accuracy is important so that you can actually have the data all the way from the root source, and it's just passed all the way through using these data standards and the technology. We talked about improved trust and being tamper-proof for transmission, privacy preserving, so they're only sharing what they want. Maximized markets is so where the natural resource companies allows them to compete in these global markets. So what we're seeing right now in the market is, particularly in Europe, is there's a requirement for responsibly sourced products. And then to get that to that responsibly sourced product, there needs to be a digital signature on the product, and verifiable credentials allows that to happen. There's a couple other potential technologies that are being looked at, but there are sort of verifiers in your trust triangle sense in the market space that are looking for those credentials. They want proof that the data is, or that the product is sustainably sourced. And this also dovetails into the supply chain solutions. And, you know, we're just innovative technology. So this is all very cutting edge technology. And positioning British Columbia as a actor in the natural resource international trade space to enable our companies in British Columbia to do this kind of thing. So Energy and Mines Digital Trust as a project, as a bit of a program, are enabling these companies to participate in this space. Okay, so in EMDT, we have two teams. We have one team that is working on our pilots at our use cases, working with different stakeholders. I'll talk about that in a sec. And we have another team, which is our developers. And so our development team is working on a thing called Traction, which was mentioned earlier in the call. It's open source software, and it's being built on top of Akamai and Indy. It's right now it's architected so that we're building plugins on top of Akamai, very similar to the plugins that Indicio has been building, using that Akamai plugin architecture so that you can have an existing Akamai and then add those plugins to get the additional features and functions. For the most part, the plugins that we're building are a user interface and to a certain degree, data storage, like tables that would get added into Akamai. There's one that we're working on, which is basic messaging, one that is a tenant UI. So it's a user interface on top of Akamai to manage the tenant and all the different things that you can do with it. And then the third main one is the Innkeeper UI, or the Innkeeper plugin. And so that's for managing multi-tenant solutions for Akamai. Yeah, that's probably good there. So that's our technology team. That's what they've been working on to support all of our pilots. And so this is our updated ecosystem graphic. And what we've got on here, this is actually new, this graphic. So this is the first group to see this updated version. On the left-hand side on the legend, we see there are these different credentials, all these different shield icons. They're indication of the credentials that are being issued. And then the second part here is the digital wallet technology that's being used in a pilot sense. The digital wallet technologies have these orange, like the orange border for traction. So we'll see that around something like this energy mines and low carbon innovation entity. So they would be using traction. In our pilots, we're partnered with Northern Block. And so we have some actors in the ecosystem using Northern Block technology. Interoperable, it's also based, it's ACAPI based, using Hyperledger Aries. So that's interoperable there. And you can also see this green one, which is on Open Earth. So they're using a base ACAPI integration. We also have talked with Sferity. I don't know if we actually have them marked in here, not yet, but that is a partner that we're working with, Sferity, they're also interoperable. So that's more into the supply chain. They're a company based in Germany. So what we see here in overall in this ecosystem is on the left-hand side, generally these are issuers of credentials, and you can see the different types of credentials that they would issue. In the middle, we would have our holders. So these are companies, these are natural resource companies based in British Columbia. So Copper Mountain Mining Corporation, they're a mining company. They have a facility in the middle, in interior of British Columbia. Teck, they have 8 different mine sites, I believe, throughout Canada. I can't remember all the locations. Tourmaline and Pacific Cambrian, those are natural gas producers. So they have pipelines. They extract natural gas and send natural gas through pipelines to be sold. On the far right-hand side, we have our verifiers. And so what we see is Open Earth. They're a voluntary reporting mechanism or reporting warehouse for greenhouse gas emissions and pledges for climate change. The Mining Association of Canada, they are doing it's called TSM, which is Towards Sustainable Mining, which is essentially a ESG type of a report. The London Metal Exchange is the LME. That's one of those European markets. And then we have the British Columbia Climate Action Secretariat and the BC Oil and Gas Commission. Those are both regulatory bodies in British Columbia. And then at the bottom, we have Goyang City, which is the actual city in South Korea. They're a consumer of natural gas from British Columbia and expansive. They're a market for natural gas for greenhouse gas emissions. So there's a lot going on in our ecosystem. We've talked with all of these different parties. They're all at different stages of involvement with our pilots. Our primary group that we started out with is PricewaterhouseCoopers, Copper Mountain, and Open Earth right at the top there. So onto our next slide. I'll just pause there if there's any questions. Actually, the next slide, I'm going to show a video. Is our demonstration. All good? Okay.
Energy and Mines Digital Trust is enabling a global digital ecosystem to make it easier and more secure for natural resource companies in British Columbia to share sustainability data. This demonstration builds upon existing regulatory emissions reporting processes. Because this is a pilot, it does not satisfy or replace regulatory reporting obligations. In this demonstration, we will show how Copper Mountain Mining Corporation uses a digital credential issued by PricewaterhouseCoopers to share with the government of British Columbia's Climate Action Secretariat. Annually, PricewaterhouseCoopers verifies Copper Mountain Mining Corporation's legislatively required greenhouse gas emissions data. Having verified Copper Mountain's data, PwC uses Northern Block Orbit to create a digital credential. PwC inputs the data into each field and issues the digital credential containing GHG data to Copper Mountain. Copper Mountain sees a new notification from PwC. Copper Mountain logs into Northern Block Orbit to view the credential. Copper Mountain selects the new credential, inspects the data, and accepts the credential. They now own their verification statement as a digital credential and can use it to fulfill requests for information. Copper Mountain begins by sending a presentation proposal in order to share GHG data with the Government of British Columbia's Climate Action Secretariat, CAS. CAS's Traction Wallet auto-accepts the proposal and triggers a request. Copper Mountain then reviews the necessary information, selects the digital credential, and sends to CAS. CAS requires mining companies that emit above 25,000 tons of CO2e a year to verify their GHG emissions annually, adhering to the Greenhouse Gas Industrial Reporting and Control Act. Using Traction, the Climate Action Secretariat can see how Copper Mountain has sent their digital credential. CAS has the ability to see that PricewaterhouseCoopers verified this data and issued the digital credential. CAS still reserves the right to check emissions reports for accuracy. This demonstration is one of several EMDT pilots exploring how sustainability reporting can be made more efficient in the natural resource sector. Contact Energy and Mines Digital Trust to learn more and to watch a live demonstration of a credential exchange. This demonstration uses Traction and Northern Block technology.
All right, so that's the video. If you have want to connect and talk more about the work that we're doing, there's my contact information. That's a QR code that goes to LinkedIn. And so now, Tim, we can open it up for some Q&A.
Thanks for the presentation, Kyle. What's next from the pilot? What are some of the main things that have been learned?
Oh boy. on the technology front, we're actually working even more closely with the Citizen Services Group to align our technologies, because the traction components that you see could be used for any of the different use cases. And so we're working on doing some alignment with just the government as a whole and what that's going to look like. So that's our development side of the fence. For our pilots, we're actually working more on the natural gas space. And so there's a couple things that are very late breaking that we're working through. One of the natural gas companies that we're working with is interested in, they're actually setting up IoT sensors to detect fugitive emissions, which is basically gases that come off of facilities that are producing natural gas. And so those sensors are IoT devices. And so one of the ideas that we're looking at is to have those IoT sensors be issuers, either there's software built into them or there's a centralized system that'll be integrated with, to have them actually issuing very regular credentials of the emissions, let's say weekly, for example. So you would be able to get weekly emissions from an IoT device as credentials. And then those credentials can be used to basically add up and fulfill the needs for weekly, monthly, yearly requirements in a trusted manner. So again, that's very early, but that's some of the things that are being explored with the natural resource space is the integration with IoT device systems.
Cool. That sounds really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll just pop back to our ecosystem slide for a second. This one. So yeah, there's a lot going on in our pilots over here. Again, all at different stages. A lot of the work that we've been doing on our pilot team has been with these credentials and looking at the actual data structures for them. Some of them don't really already exist. Some of them do. Some of them have existing governance, what we would call governance information. So for example, towards sustainable mining, they have pretty good data, governance structure for what a TSM credential is and the way that it's used. So from a governance perspective, we're looking at how we can leverage the existing work that's been done and how what gap we need to fill for a governance for the actual verifiable credential form of towards sustainable mining credential. Same thing with some of these other credentials is how we're filling the gaps on the governance.
Yeah, thanks for the presentation. So I think mm-hmm. that like my company is working on a similar project from the other side of it for carbon sequestration or solar panel capture. And I guess the major differences that leap out to me is like probably, I think what you mentioned before, like we're capturing more data at the sensor level. So actually at the raw source that's mm-hmm. captured a verifiable credential. So it's probably a little bit more robust audit trail right back to the sensor itself. And then I think like, and then it eventually does tie into carbon credit ecosystems that are fully like third party auditable, which I think, you have a lot of those elements here, but I wondered if you see that tying into like the purchase of carbon credits or into those larger ecosystems, and then how far back to into the source of the data you think this system would go?
That's a good question. So what we've talked about, if you're not involved, there's a greenhouse gas emission task force that's just been started up with, I think it's Trust Over IP. Maybe somebody can correct me on that, but or we can chat after. And one of the things that we talked about in that group is looking at it from a bottom up or a top down perspective. And what I mean there is the bottom up would be going to the very, very source of the tiniest little report, like if it's an invoice of diesel fuel, from last month or something, that's maybe as far back as they can go to actually get the data that contributes to the higher level yearly amount. So that's the bottom-up approach, or IoT sensors on certain pieces of equipment, even just a gas gauge on a dump truck or something. The other way to look at it is to go from the very top and just say, we're just going to deal with the total for now and get that moving through the ecosystem. And we will figure out how to take all the different pieces of data underneath to get to that total. There's a need for verifiable credentials for all of it and how it all gets kind of chained together and added up. For our pilot, we're starting from the top. And so there's an existing process where it's a regulatory reporting process that was showed in the video, where it's just sort of a total number. There's a lot of work that's done outside of the system to get to that number, but it's still at the end of the day is a trusted number because it's been audited by a third party in this case. So PricewaterhouseCoopers. So the trust is that PwC is attesting to that number based on the work that they had done prior to it, to creating that number, really. They get the number from Copper Mountain, but they verify it. They do a site visit and all these other processes to make sure that that is accurate. So that's the top down and bottom up approach. The other thing, to answer your question on the carbon credits or the carbon markets, is this is one side of the equation of a net zero sort of result. And so to do a net zero report, you have to first, document and report on all of your actual emissions to say, yes, we are emitting, 97,000 tons of CO2e a year. Right? That's your starting number. Then you need to look at your carbon markets to be like, okay, well, we need to figure out how we can get, 97,000 offsets or credits so that we can report that we're net zero. And so I definitely see there to be a linkage here. It's unclear at this point how that linkage happens, but it's something that needs to be done at least by the company in the middle. So Copper Mountain, for example, if they wanted to report net zero, they would be able to use kind of what we're building in this ecosystem to have verifiable, credentials that speak to that 97,000 tons of emissions. They would need to use maybe a related system or a connected system or some other mechanism. Maybe it's just a carbon credit thing. And then Copper Mountain can bring those two numbers together in a trusted manner to say, this is our offsets. Does that answer your question?
I guess my follow-up would be, yeah. I think using verifiable credentials makes a lot of sense to me for the bottoms-up approach. I'm just curious on the tops-down approach, because it seems what you mentioned, PwC already does on-site inspections. They're the auditor. They've already been the one on the site counting the number of dump trucks and the amount of fuel. So then what value does PwC get from receiving a verifiable credential, which I guess is just kind of reasserting the data that they've already audited, or maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah. So in this case, PwC is not getting the credential. They're issuing the credential. So they are actually taking data from Copper Mountain. There's a bit of a process for where Copper Mountain actually sends all their invoices and all that fun stuff to PricewaterhouseCoopers. They also have a process for the site visit, which is actually, from a regulatory reporting perspective, a requirement to do a site visit and to have a plan and these kinds of things. It needs to be third-party audited. So PricewaterhouseCoopers is actually the issuer. They're the ones that are issuing or attesting to the numbers. Copper Mountain gets to hold that number, and then they can do what they want with it. They can share it. They can put it in the ESG report, those kinds of things. Does that help answer that?
Yeah, sorry. I was reading your diagram backwards, so I thought the data was coming from the right side to the left side.
No, it goes from left to right. Issuers are on the left here, for the most part. Holders in the middle, and verifiers on the right. So these people on the left side are the ones attesting to information, creating information, and then the middle group is holding it. The group on the right is consuming that information. Yeah. Great. Great questions. Any other questions from the group? Okay. Well, if you have follow-up questions or want to get connected, you can email me or check me out on LinkedIn. But for now, I'll pass it back to you, Tim or Shar.
Sounds good. Thank you, Kyle. I believe that was pretty much all for today. Be sure to join us next time. We will be hearing from... let me pull up his name real quick.
I think we'll be hearing from Dominic Zaiskowski.
Yes, I believe so.
Looking forward to that presentation.
Yes, thank you, Shar. The next meeting will be on December 15th, and we will send out Discord reminders as well. So thank you all for coming, and the recording will be up soon. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.